Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour number two rolls along here. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer filling in for One Bills Live today and tomorrow. Talking, well, the upcoming trade deadline for the Bills and what they need to do, where they need to fix their team, where they actually can live without fixing. You know, what can you hide? What can you live with? What do you have to live with? I think it's a curious conversation because I think either way you go, offense or defense, I'm not really going to fight you on it. I can understand both sides. For me, with the offense, you got the all-world quarterback in the last two playoffs. You've ended by not scoring the football. You've had the chance. You just haven't been able to do it. And you've had to kind of go to the well a few times
and yet at the
to
same
bring
time,
in a wide receiver to add to that room.
And yet at the same time, the most recent playoff loss was the first time that the Chiefs had scored more than 30 points all year.
All year. Mm-hmm.
And it happened against your team again.
And that has been a constant in the playoffs is that – a top 15-plus unit all year goes in the playoffs, and they can't get timely stops. They're not getting the takeaways that they sort of live by. And to be fair, you're also seeing that these last 2 weeks, when they're not getting the takeaways, all of a sudden that bend-don't-break defense looks like it's breaking pretty easily at times.
It's breaking a lot more consistently than it used to.
And in many ways, it's penalties. It's the lack of tackling. It's a few things. I look at it a lot. Mainly on the defense, a talent issue. However, with it being an offensive league, I think you can somewhat survive with a less than stellar defensive unit, especially with we don't know what they'll look like when Hoyt and Ogunjobi are inserted back into the lineup. We've only had Ed Oliver for 2 games, and he has 2 sacks in those 2 games. He's
not a mistake at this point.
Not a mistake at this point. You're also seeing more of Deion Walker, and he keeps ascending. Not perfect.
He is.
Not perfect. He did well in the run defense, and they were still bad.
I am still – but that's the thing is, like, especially with that game against Atlanta, Oliver and Walker have to do – like, it's a workman-like performance. And, yes, they do get gashed. But you're playing 3 defensive tackles all night.
Yeah.
79 and 80% snap share for both – for each of them respectively is – tough.
Yeah.
For a defensive tackle, so tough. Like, your job is running into people right away and, like, fighting with them the entirety of your game. That's mm-hmm. your game. You need a breather.
Yeah.
And, oh, my God. Like, it just, it's one of those things where, like, even, like, offensive linemen, like, the pass pro thing, like, you, like, they get to kick, step back and everything. Like, you're engaging with players, but if a play eventually goes away from you, offensive linemen don't have to continue running. Defensive players, you should keep running.
Yeah, and to be fair, when you're Walker, too, 6'7", over 300 pounds, it's a big body to move a lot for that night.
It's a lot of snaps for that, mm-hmm. and they did a lot of work. I really commend the two of them for the performance that they had, especially with Walker having 4 tackles for loss in that game, in a game where they do get gashed. But I mentioned
he also batted a pass down at the line.
Timely stops, though.
Mm-hmm.
Walker and Oliver were both putting those up in the second half and kind of spearheading. This sounds familiar for Ed Oliver. Spearheading an opportunity for the offense to take over.
And unlike opening night, the offense doesn't get it done.
Correct.
And so and you can even go back to that AFC Championship last year. The Bills do hold Kansas City to a field goal. The offense has a chance to go win it. And instead, it has to be ultimately a prayer ball situation from Allen to Kincaid. I mean, Kincaid probably should come up with it. I'm not denying that. but he's running around and it kind of has to be, you know, throw it up in the air. Let's see what happens.
But
and
also,
it almost works.
But also, I loved watching Cam Newton's breakdown of that play. It's Steve Spagnuolo out coaching Joe Brady in that moment, because they line up in a way where you have to identify the mic as Drew Tranquil. And the corner is going to be coming off. But you have to identify that mic because he is your closest threat.
Yeah.
Tranquil drops, corner blitzes, he's hot. And the Bills don't have a hot route for it. Allen does what he can, extends the play, and puts it in Kincaid's neighborhood.
That is almost so cool. Seems to be a continuing problem, though, of not having a hot route with a blitz. Just getting the ball out. A little frustrating. 803-0550, the number to call. More of your thoughts on what you want to see the Bills do to maybe right the ship as they're on the bye week. They are still, though, it can be said, 4-2. And they are still in a pretty good spot, all things considered, after dropping two straight games. Though, they are now second in the AFC East. We'll go back to the phones here. Mike is up first this segment. Mike, how are we doing?
Great. Great show. Always enjoy listening to you guys.
Thank you.
And thanks, I know, Mike. You were just talking about it, but I noticed that in the fourth quarter, maybe even in late third, Walker was coming out every third down, and they were going to Solomon. And I understand, you know, trying to snap count, playing with only three tackles. But he might have been able to push the pocket to help an edge rusher. He might have been able to knock down a pass, or maybe he might have been able to actually come in for a sack. So maybe couldn't once or twice when third down leave him in there. And the number two point about that is you're taking the guy off the field after, first and second, running him off the field. And then when the opponents convert, which they always do, you're running him back on for after third down again. So it's like, if it happens four times, you're making your defensive lineman, who's probably one of your most effective pass rushers, he's doing cardio. He's running 200 yards extra wind sprints to get on the field. So I just wish that we had a little bit more next-level coaching where they say, hey, let the kid have a chance on third down. He's penetrating. And after the game, McDermott made a point of like, well, he made some big mistakes and really learned some lessons tonight. And I said, well, I wish Bobby Babbage would learn a lesson. To be like, change it up a little bit. Give a guy a shot on third down. Especially a guy who's been one of our, I think he's been one of the top three defensive linemen. I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
Yeah, Mike, thanks for the call. He's been one of the better defensive linemen in the league, especially when you look at rookies at his position, defensive tackle. He's been kind of awesome from the word go for the Bills. I mean, you remember in camp as well, Bills offensive linemen were being asked, like, who's been flashing, like, before they could even get the word out. Deion Walker. And who coined it? Was it Ed Oliver that called him a dancing bear? I mean, like, the team has loved him from the word go. I think I understand where Mike's point is on that, though, of it's third down. Maybe just keep the guy in there who's been playing really well to try to get off the field rather than maybe playing the long game there.
That's circumstance.
Right.
I'm not going to really harp too much on that one because, again, he played 80% of the snaps.
Yeah, he's already playing pretty much all of them anyways.
He's probably dogged a singular breather, even if only for a play. That is 40 seconds of being able to at least get some water, breathe some air, and have a moment.
You do wonder, too, with how well Daquan Jones is playing this year.
I think
and
that...
And you get Ed Oliver back, if he doesn't pick up an injury before the game starts...
Yeah, if Daquan Jones is not hurt in warm-up, that scenario does not happen, Mike. It's... You get to rotate him in. You probably do put him in on third down, actually. Like, that's probably the opposite. Daquan plays first or second down. You get Deion Walker in there on third down. As a matter of fact, let him try to pin his ears back. That one is just what I'd call unfortunate circumstance and what was probably the weirdest week in terms of pre-game injuries.
Because you had two in the Colts game.
Two in the Colts game. There was one in the Bills game. It just, all sorts of everything. And then also, like, whatever is happening with Josh Simmons with Kansas City.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of, like, pre-game shenanigans, I guess I'll call it, to where you can't do anything about that other than go, hey, let's get him a breather if we can. Get Jordan Phillips in here. At least get him a chance to take a moment. 80% of the snaps for a defensive tackle is high.
It's very, very high. And I think it should be important to bring up, at least for a few more weeks, it's like his sixth NFL game. So I think they also don't want to put too much on a rookie now where maybe he blows a play and because he's tired, Bijan's off to the races again. And the little, the slow march that they're having to try to come back into the game falls apart. But I will say, throughout the year, Deion Walker has been the shining light, not just on the defense, this draft class as well. Jackson Hawes has been great in his very specific role for the offense, and that's been awesome.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose.
So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
But in a draft class where your first round pick is injured and you haven't seen him yet, and you haven't seen him for months now at this point, it was early in camp when he gets hurt. TJ Sanders also got hurt, but really wasn't doing much. And Landon Jackson, only recently, kind of due to circumstances, getting a game day jersey, but when he's playing, he's not doing anything. Walker has been the shining light to that class and has been at least been something positive. And I remember us talking towards the beginning of camp going like, look, I'm not expecting too much from Walker Sanders. It'd be unfair because they're rookies and it's a second and a fourth round pick. They've got to work around the vets and it's got to be a symbiotic unit. Walker has spat in the face of that and has instead right. been a guy where we're all sitting there going, can he play one tech? Can he sit next to Ed Oliver?
Can he be next to Ed Oliver?
And cause hell, and in your first taste of it, while you're still waiting for potentially your best run defender to come back in Michael Hoyt, it was a really good sign. I know they gave up a lot in the run game, and that's not ideal.
It's also – my thing is once they get past the first level, it's
– that's where the damage is really getting
ugly,
done.
It gets ugly, actually.
That's where the damage is getting done.
And so I went ahead and I got curious about something. I was like, let's look at defensive tackle snap shares because he is a rookie who was coming off of a back injury, by the way. So, yeah, playing 80% of the snaps for the first time in your career is going to be something. And I looked at it and I'm like, okay, who's a player that I can look at this year to see snap shares? Who's a good defense tackle in this league? I thought Vita Vea.
Mm-hmm.
Big boy.
I was going to say very similar body builds, yep.
Big boy. He has played 80% of the snaps twice this year.
Okay.
But he's also an established veteran in this league. But even he is not getting over 80% commonly.
It is probably much more close games. We need our best players in there.
Oh, they play a lot of close games.
Tampa's been a lot of close games.
That's kind of just been what they do. Braden Fisk.
Yep.
Last year with the Rams.
For Rams, yeah.
He was a fantastic addition for them. He has yet to play even 70% of his snaps in any game this year. It is something you want to have a healthy rotation at defensive tackle. So, again, I think we went on this point long enough, but I just wanted to be able to show the fascination on this. But it's not commonplace to have two D tackles playing 80% of the game.
No, and it happened because of a strange circumstance. I thought they would have. I know Nate Geary's talked a lot about this, especially in the post game and when he does overtime as well. Greg Rousseau, who did a lot of work at the University of Miami. In the interior. I thought there was a good chance that maybe they would move him there.
Right.
Daquan's out. We need to do something. And they kind of never did.
I think that's also based on Greg Rousseau is supposed to be really good at setting the edge.
And we need him against Bijan.
We need him there.
Right. Let's go back to the phones. Rich is up next. Rich, how we doing?
Doing good, guys. You know, my biggest problem with that last game and the team overall is, look, it's Brady, all right? Babich had an injury-riddled defense. He's, like, putting things together with duct tape and barbed wire. He's got, you know, I love Trey White, man. Great person, but he is a shell of himself. And in the second half, making adjustments basically just shut Atlanta down and gave the offense multiple opportunities to win that game. The one person I'm really pissed off at is Brady. He came in with a crappy game plan and then made no adjustments at halftime to address the blitz. I don't know if there, I don't ever remember seeing any type of hot read or a dump off or, you know, getting Cook into the passing game. You know, and then on top of, and then like I said, Bean. Somebody, this guy needs to be held accountable. I think he's been given a free ride for too long. Draft picks have been questionable. Free agency's been questionable. And I'm sick and tired of this organization putting the entire weight on Josh Allen by going to the bargain aisle to go find wide receivers and not giving him any talent to play with. You know, Mahomes has plenty of weapons to go to, and yet poor Josh Allen is stuck back there. It's like, hey, Josh, if we get blitzed, you need to run. Hey, Josh, we got crappy receivers that can't get open. So you need to force balls into small windows, and if you get picked off, it's your fault. You know, I'm sick and tired of Bean getting a free ride, and I think Brady needs to pull his head out and start coming up with some better game plans. Thanks, guys.
Rich, thanks for the call. Rich fired up today on a Thursday. I understand the sentiments, though. I have been somebody that has talked about Bean's misses in the draft, especially free agency. I get a little leery of once you pay the quarterback big money. Then the drafts become that much more important because it's cheap labor. It sounds awful when you put it like that, but that's what it is.
You need to find your ways to exploit when you are paying a quarterback that salary. You need to find ways to properly recognize the bargain bin and succeed there. Mm-hmm. But you need to, more importantly, get stars through the draft. This is something you and I have started to get on this a decent amount of time ago now, where it is about the lack of stars and superstars that are drafted to this team outside of Josh Allen and James Cook.
Mm-hmm.
It is mostly good to great players who are now kind of like, you know, a little bit of a decline going on. Like, I look at Taron Johnson.
Right.
He has not been good this year.
No, and his size has become a problem the last 2 years. He often gets bullied in those matchups.
And it's just one of those things where he's not the all-pro corner that he is.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at the lack of a star defensive end. Von Miller is signed, and it was working until he got hurt. But outside of that, what have you added at defensive end that has really sold me on him, on Bean's draft acumen on the defensive line? Well, this is a guy who brought Trent Murphy in. People don't forget.
But like that's where you bring up Greg Rousseau, like you mentioned, like edge setter. But they signed him to a deal that the expectation was he was going to take last year, and we talked about this on the Extra Point Show a lot. He looked to be an ascending player. Yeah, a lot of the underlying statistics really liked Rousseau. However, you know, we also kind of pointed out, yeah, a lot of his sack though production, funny enough, was in week one against Arizona. He had kind of like an Ed Oliver game. He has three sacks, dominates, looks at, there he is. Here comes the all-pro year for Greg Rousseau. He goes like six games without another sack.
Mm-hmm.
And he sort of picks up to the end of the year, but he has his worst game at the end. But it made sense to sign him back. He looked to be an ascending player. He has not been that so far this year.
Right.
AJ Epenesa, while his pressure rate is very good, he's kind of a nice secondary piece to have. Every team's going to need him, but he can't be your second best pass rusher.
But
right?
The defensive ends for the entirety of Bean's tenure here have been secondary players or chip in.
Well, I brought this up. I don't know if I've said this on air, but I know we've talked about it. Since 2019, he's drafted one Pro Bowler. And I know it's the Pro Bowl, but for a team that wins 11 to 13 games every year, you'd think fans would know their players and would vote them in. I'm not saying Bills fans. I'm talking nationally. Their one Pro Bowler is James Cook. Now, they've had a few more that have pieced in, like Connor McGovern's a free agent acquisition, but he's an alternate. Deion Dawkins is not a Bean pick.
Right.
And even that offensive line they had last year, you'd think maybe their young ascending guard, Osiris Torrance, would get some call for that. Spencer Brown. No.
Nope.
And so that's my biggest issue. It's not necessarily that Pro Bowlers mean everything. It's not that. But it is a way to look at how they're drafting, how they're adding talent, and they haven't done it, specifically at the edge rusher position. But as you mentioned, the safeties. Taylor Rapp is supposed to maybe be an heir apparent to Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde. He has not been that. Cole Bishop, we're kind of waiting to see on that. Cornerback with Christian Benford. They signed him to the extension. He has not looked good this year. Most of their contract extensions have not looked good this year.
He played better against Atlanta, against Drake London. Mm-hmm. But yes, you're right. Like, and safety is another thing. Like, those additions, they're McDermott's.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. We are going to take a little bit of a break from football talk as the Sabres had a nice win last night. 8-4 over Ottawa. It's their first win on the year. And boy,
also known as outscoring the Ravens.
Yeah. And boy, did they make up for not having a lot of goals in their first three games. We'll talk with Travis Yost coming up next. Get more on kind of the start of this year and maybe what this win means for the Sabres going forward. Their next game is on Saturday at home against the Florida Panthers. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer filling in for One Bills Live. And this is WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.